Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wizard Talk. My name is Jason McKean. This is a show about accessing your inner wizard and aligning yourself to the magic of creation and moving forward in your life. Welcome to today's special episode. We'll be talking to our guest, Christine McBride, in just a couple minutes. But thank you for tuning in, for listening. I've been... Really kind of out there in the world doing a lot of different events, and some of you who follow me know that my sister is someone who's in the public eye as well, and so I've been on her radio show, and I've been hosting that, and sometimes I just have it in me to do one a week, and so I don't always do like Wizard Talk as religiously as I should, but I've got actually some really great guests lined up in the future. So, continue to listen and learn about the Tarot, of course, but also this wizard energy of manifesting who it is that you want to be in life. And I know that with our next guest, we'll be able to talk about that in great depth. Just to let you know, I have a couple of events that are in the very near future. There is a Wizard Plus Tarot in a teepee. and that's in Agoura Hills. That's in, the teepee is back. The teepee it burnt down. And in the Malibu fire there in November. And it has resurrected. The phoenix has risen again, and there's actually a phoenix that is painted on the teepee now. And there's a few openings left. It's limited to 10 so that we can get really in depth and do some really great work. And there is a couple seats or places left in it. So check it out. It's on my website, JasonDMcKean.com, JasonDMcKean.com, and that's along with my own chant CDs and other offerings, other events. I'm going to be in Seattle and Portland and San Luis Obispo upcoming, and also at Muse House Retreat there in Tahunga Village there near Studio City. I'm going to do a past life regression there. So lots of stuff. All right. So let's get to my guest today. And my guest is Christine McBride, and she is an artist. And we'll see what types of how that's expressed out in the world, what that art is all about. And also a disabled US Navy veteran. And she's had like near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, and I think that's kind of been part of an awakening. It sounds like for coming into more of awareness of her own body, her health, but also her spirituality and happiness as well. So, welcome to Wizard Talk, Christine.
Well, thank you, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm staying busy, staying happy and motivated. Thank you
That's
for your
great.
Service.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm so excited to hear that the teepee is risen again.
Right?
Very excited
it's,
about that. Yes.
It's a totally magical space. It's a space that has facilitated a lot of spiritual growth. When it was, it was, the first incarnation of it had a pretty short but intense life. And because of that intensity, it just, you know, it manifested a community that looked to support it and bring it back up, you know, to raise it again.
Yeah.
So it's there and it's fully going forward there.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. So you know, this you're an artist. How do you express your inner creativity? How do you express that, Christine?
For me, it's painting, drawing, do anything that's pretty much anything two dimensional. So I create both small and very large work. And you know, it's been something that I've been able to go to at my best and at my worst. You know, it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the work that I do expresses a lot of what is happening inside me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like the best art is where we tap into our own process and
yeah.
find a way
yeah,
to you know, express it, to speak about it in another talent rather than just talking about it. You know, it's about
right,
where you can.
You know, exactly. All the senses, right? And
mm-hmm.
we all learn differently. We all express ourselves differently. So for me, it's always, I'm a visual learner as well. So, you know, this suits my personality.
Yeah. Did you take any formal painting classes, any art classes?
Yes, actually, I have a bachelor's in fine art from Cal State Bakersfield. And you said that you were going over to San Luis Obispo. I actually finished my degree at Cal Poly. So
very
I
nice.
Am, and yes, oh, beautiful city. If your listeners have never visited San Luis Obispo or that part of the Central Coast, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous area. And I was lucky enough to live there for almost 9 years.
Wow.
Before moving back to Bakersfield.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of on the same, like, what is it, latitude there? I mean, it seems like it's kind
is.
Of across the way from
it
Bakersfield, but it's a totally different environment.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And I think there, I actually have to laugh. There was a young woman who was from back east and looked at community colleges that she wanted to attend in the area, chose Taft because of its closeness to the coast. But I don't know if you've ever been to Taft, but it makes Bakersfield look like an oasis. And it's quite deserty and flat and dry, and she was just miserable.
Girl.
And so just that little 30-minute, 40-minute drive west makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you join the Navy pretty early in your adulthood?
Right out of high school. Yeah.
Okay.
I went in right out of high school. I'm from Southern California, and my parents moved to Bakersfield when I was a senior in high school. And so I was looking to leave the area, and joining the military was the way that I chose to do it. And I went to boot camp in Orlando, Florida. And at the end of boot camp, they have a dream sheet that lists all the domestic and international bases. And you would pick your top three in each international and domestic. And the military would try to get you on or near that area. So I chose all overseas locations and all East Coast locations. But as fate would have it, I got stationed 80 miles north of Bakersfield in Lemoore, California. So that was my day.
Wait, was that on your dream list?
No, it was not. I did not make the top three.
So, sounds like maybe they tricked
my,
you.
Yeah, my first experience with words have power, actually, because I remember shaking my fist, being really angry about wanting to leave this area and saying out loud, I don't care if it's worse than Bakersfield. I just want to get the hell out of here. And
right.
boy, oh boy, I found worse than Bakersfield.
Wow.
And, you know, we're talking, you know, 30 years ago. So it's a different city today. It was a pretty rural area still back in the day.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? I'll tell you, I grew a new appreciation for Bakersfield. I did. And the people here are great. It's like a Midwest town right in the middle of California.
Yeah.
So you have that friendliness, right?
Total.
So
I mean,
I have nothing but
total appreciation for Bakersfield. You know, as far as the community there has been just a real joy to work with.
Yeah.
And very receptive. And, you know, in L.A., you know, because of the, you know, having like a metaphysical community, having it so prevalent in LA too, it's like people can become jaded. You know, it's just you know, there's too much being offered, you know, in some respects, and so, you know, when I come up and visit, it's like there's a real appreciation for, you know, the work that I do, and it's just like it's a lot of fun. It's like you know, you people know how to party.
We do that well. Yes, we do.
So tell me what happened in 2015 there, like a near-death experience.
Oh. Well, I need to give just a little bit of background if I can
for
the experience. Okay, so that people will know why I was in the situation I was in. So while I was in the military, I was exposed to jet fuel, which set in motion a whole immune response. So over the years, I've had a number of illnesses and a couple of cancers. The big one was breast cancer, and I ended up having to have bilateral mastectomies and multiple reconstructive surgeries. And I fell, rupturing an implant, had to go have that removed and replaced. There was a problem. I bled internally. I had to go back for emergency surgery. Went home, and within 2 weeks, I was back in the hospital with a life-threatening infection.
Mm.
And this time, I was at a local hospital. Okay, the two surgeries were at Cedars-Sinai down in Los Angeles. So I was at a local hospital trying to get admitted, and they ended up ambulancing me down to Cedars-Sinai for a third surgery. But on the way down, my heart stopped. They had to give me CPR.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they broke 10 ribs, 5 on each side of my sternum, in doing that. And then I went in for major surgery on my chest. So it was really, it was a pretty horrific recovery.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I have memories from that, and it was really interesting because this. Oh my gosh, I'm getting. I'm sorry, I haven't talked about this before publicly.
Yeah, and it's like.
And I'm getting a little emotional about it. I didn't expect that. So.
Take your time.
The first time in my. Thank you. It was the first time in my life that I remember feeling love for self. I didn't realize until that moment how much self-hatred and self-loathing I had in comparison to the unconditional love that permeated every cell of my being. Wow, I had a lot of self-hatred. And my life reflected that. I didn't realize how much that self-loathing had to do with my overall health and well-being and my happiness. I thought I was doing okay, right? Because I looked okay. Even though I was really sick, I still looked really healthy. I mean, it was amazing how healthy I looked.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, a way to support myself. And, you know, I had a home. You know, I was doing okay. I didn't, so I really didn't get the connection between this kind of constant, you know, low self-esteem and this feeling of worthlessness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't connect that to, you know, my happiness, my overall happiness. And so this literally broke everything open for me. And during my recovery, my heart chakra opened. And the physical feeling of that is exactly what they write about, which is, you know, the thousand petal lotus opening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it felt like the edges of all of the petals on that flower were just brushing up against the inside of my rib cage. And
wow.
It just kept going and going and going. It was just, my heart felt like it was three times the size.
Yeah.
Such a great feeling, right?
Yeah. And for it to kind of all be like localized there, you know, in kind of your chest area, you know. But to,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do you think it was part of the, like the healing? Like it was like kind of I mean, literally like a do or die moment.
Literally. Yeah. Well, you know, and it was a literal healing as well, because my ribs were broken. And so they were healing and
yeah.
My heart was healing. That emotional center was healing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of healing right in that area.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was
just
an incredible feeling.
And with when you were in the ambulance, because you remember being in the ambulance when you died, basically, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, you want to know about that part, right? I'm getting ahead of myself.
It's all right.
Ahead of myself.
Yeah. So I totally appreciate you talking about it.
I do have one really funny memory. For me, in my life, humor plays a big part in my happiness and my overall well-being, and it was the way that I learned to cope with things is through, you know, before this it was through a lot of dark humor and being very cynical and snarky, but so I know that I'm doing okay. I've been in a couple of pretty big accidents, and the first thing, if I can find humor in something, I know that my brain is okay. And so that's kind of like an immediate go-to check for me. So what I remember is I lost consciousness in the ambulance. And then the next thing I remember is this just startlingly intense pain.
Mm-hmm.
And all at once, in one great big breath, coming completely, sitting completely upright in one big, like, oh! And realizing I was on a gurney and there was a doctor, and I mean, I could pick her out of a lineup today. There was a doctor, a female doctor, with the two paramedics on either side of her, on either side of the gurney. And as I come up all in one breath, they jump back in surprise. I scared the shit out of them. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I really scared them. And I remember thinking, oh, kind of laughing, going, that's kind of funny. And then, boom, I'm out again. So that was the moment that I, you know, that was one little funny thing about that moment. But what the actual near-death experience was is I remember the feeling of being filled with light and love. Just that was what held me together, really. It was the energy that I was made of, what we are all made of. That's the essence of who we are. It's this body of love. And I just remember being almost like coming into, oh, I remember. This is who I am. And being in the threshold and going, oh, yeah, okay. Whew, here we are. And, you know, I had, in my life, I experienced so much physical pain that it was such a relief to be free of that. So I was I was feeling good. And I remember just being at a threshold and being shown Sorry, let me take a minute.
Sure.
Wow, it's still so emotional, even after all this time. Okay. Okay. I'm in this threshold between, I guess, two realms.
Mm-hmm.
And I look out over this vast landscape, and it's nighttime. And it's beautiful. And it's my home. But what I'm being told and being shown is that it was, it was like a desert. And what I was seeing, there were no voices, but the information was being put in my brain or being that, you know that bit in the Bible that the work you do here on earth is the treasures you lay in heaven? You know that bit?
Yes.
That's what I believe the message was that you have a beautiful life, but up until now, you've done nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is my opportunity to come back and do the work, to fill that landscape up, to fill that river so it's not a dry riverbed. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you're able to, you know, because in the realm of spirit.
An oasis.
In the realm of spirit, I don't believe in like past, present, and future. Like time and space does not kind of operate in that same way. And it's like, it's like the things that we do here, like in the present, is kind of the, even though it's like we can see it as the future, it's still the present. You know, it's like we're creating other frequencies of ourself,
really
other realities of ourself, other parts of ourself that are filling up, you know, those places too. You know, it's like it's kind of interesting to describe it, but I mean, I think you're doing beautifully as far as, you know, just like, you know, looking to make sure that, you know, you're not wasting time, you know, that you're not, you know, doing something that, you know, is not beneficial to you, to others and all, that is just kind of the essence of life itself, where we just keep, filling up our experiences with as much love,
with as
much investment of our own essence, you know, like the best parts of ourself, expressing those and having something to show for
and
it.
Really, exactly, and really creating, which I believe we all are able to do. We can create our own heaven on earth by exactly doing what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
so,
and just as we can create our own hell on earth by doing the opposite of what you said. And that I believe I was creating my own personal hell on earth just by, you know, the stories I was telling, my belief systems, my limiting beliefs, you know, what I expected and just all that self-destruction, anger, hatred, greed, jealousy, you know, I mean, every way fear expresses itself. And I think that I really did. I didn't do my body any favor. I think I kept myself way sicker by kind of buying into all of that.
Yes.
Instead of realizing that we are all worthy of love, that we are all, you know, made of the same thing. And after that, I really did start thinking and asking myself a question. well, why do I feel like I'm not worthy of love? And what have I done that is so wrong that I shouldn't allow love in my life? And, you know, it just sort of started this journey of self-awareness and really challenging all the belief systems that I had built over the years that were not serving me anymore, and deciding which ones I wanted to throw out and which ones I wanted to replace. And that just kind of got me going. And I really then started getting into meditation, which is what led me to my out-of-body experience almost a year to the day later. I think it was May 8th or 9th of the following year. And I had, do you want me to get into this part of it now, the out-of-body experience?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, buckle up. I'm going to get a little different one.
I'm buckled in.
Because this will blow your socks off. I mean, the near-death experience was profound.
Wait a sec. My socks are just blown off. I don't have anything on my feet.
Oh, okay.
Let me put my socks back on so they can get blown off again.
Okay. Break to a commercial now.
Okay. Yeah, right? No.
You just let me know when your socks are back on.
No, they're back on.
Okay, I got into really big into meditation because this was how I learned how to milk that feeling of that unconditional love that I had felt. I mean, I'll tell you what, if you have never felt something like that before and you have lived a life of suffering or heavy challenges and you get a little taste of this, it is, you will spend the rest of your life chasing this again, because it's not like any other experience I've ever known. I look forward to feeling it again once I'm ready. So I got into the meditation to sort of milk this feeling, and I got better and better at it and longer and longer. And this one day I had been meditating for about 3 hours on and off, and I was just focusing on absolute surrender in all ways, physical, emotional, everything. And I felt this vibration fill my body, and then the vibration began to pulsate. And then even though my eyes were closed, I could see light and dark lines going up with the pulsation. And the pulsation and the vibration became louder, and it actually became quite loud. And then it was as though I got shot out of a canyon. A cannon.
Yeah.
I didn't just go up out of my body and bump around on the ceiling. I got shot far, way, way up. And I was going way away from the earth. And it...
Wow.
And this part is just so funny because I can't express it. I can't explain it any other way. But you know, on the cartoons, when you get the little animated character gets shot out of the canyon and all the wind is passing and their body is just sort of flipping back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's sort of what it felt like. I was going that fast and my little spirit self was just sort of flapping. And I'm like, woo! I'm like being aware of how fast I'm traveling, going, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then it was as though somebody just reached out and grabbed hold of my ankle, and I stopped all at once. And I turned around, and I realized that, well, at least in my mind, I kept wanting to go, but for whatever reason, I was tethered. And so in my mind, I decided that it was fear that was keeping me from surrendering totally, and that I have an apricot tree. So I imagined a little apricot pit being sandblasted, and I just told myself, made the intention, that as that seed got smaller and smaller, my fear would reduce more and more, and it would be gone, and I would be free. And as soon as I could no longer see that seed in that pit in my mind, It was as though the hand let go of my ankle, and I began floating then much more slowly away from the earth. But I was up in the atmosphere. And as I moved away from the earth, and you could see the ocean and the land regions, all over the land regions, these tiny, bright green leaves sprouted up. They grew into trees, which began growing together. And then, and I still don't know the significance of this, and maybe you could help me out. Four main trunks came out of the earth, and then there's a significance to this that I haven't figured out yet, but the four main trunks came out away from the earth, up towards the top part of the earth, twisted together to make one trunk, and the roots were digging into the earth as the branches grew, and then those same bright green leaves began sprouting out of all of the little branches, and these yellow golden flowers bloomed, and then there was this gold glittery pollen that began emitting from all of the flowers, and it created this sort of globe with all of the branches, the leaves, the flowers, and the golden pollen created like another ball on top of the, you know, for the top part of the whole tree. And as it seems that as the pollen became thicker and thicker, it was almost as though, even though we're in space, it was almost as though the weight of it pulled it over to the side so that it became horizontal rather than vertical. And as soon as it became horizontal, I realized what I was looking at. And because it was the earth on one end, the trunk in the middle, and the golden pollen with the tree on the other end. And I realized I was looking at the infinity sign. And as soon as that realization occurred to me, I knew instantly that what the infinity symbol really means, and which it really means our never-ending connection between the physical and the spiritual world. And as soon as that understanding came through me, and you know what? I missed a little part here, but I'm gonna tell you this next part, and then I'll tell you, I'll go back a little bit. So as soon as I saw, I understood that, a big ball of fire came into view, and out of the fire came the yin yang sign, and I understood then that what the yin yang symbol really means, which is, if I can, it may not come out quite right, but it's almost as though if we were to embody the yin and the yang, like we as our little spirit selves, we go around as these electromagnetic vibrational beings, always in a state of repelling or attracting to us like or dissimilar vibrations. So we're like these little half charges looking for a full charge, right? So when we find something that creates a full charge for us, that is what that, okay, so we're a little half charge. We find another like vibration, and we come together, and it creates a full charge, a full energetic charge. I believe that the yin and the yang symbolizes that. I haven't talked about this before, so I'm not really explaining this very eloquently.
No, but it would like...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. As far as like it would explain why, you know, some people most people are always looking for a mate, right? A partner, right?
Yeah.
To get that full charge.
Right. And we go through a whole lot of fish in the sea, but once we get that person that you know, you just can't explain it, but you just know they're the right person. And everything is easy, and there's flow, and you know, it's meant to be. That's the energetic connection. That's the full charge. Then, and it can be for anything, not just, you know, romantic love. I mean,
that's right.
I want a hot dog, and I go down and get a hot dog. That's a completed energetic chart. That's a yin yang for me.
So it's a lot cheaper too than a person. It's like, you know, you don't have to invest as much into a hot dog.
Monetarily, it depends on what your the cost of what you're talking
about. Health wise, maybe not so good afterwards.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Maybe just one for the 4th of July.
Right. So, okay. So, getting back to the experience. So, as soon as I understood what that yin yang meant, it was consumed by fire and it burnt out. And but the thing that I forgot to tell you is, as I was moving away from the earth and these trees were growing out of the ground, and the earth was being turned over and over and over, and as the earth was turning over and over, it was as though it was unearthing thousands of years of experience, human experience. So I saw all these different wars, and I saw all this unrest, and I saw, you know, I saw just all this stuff coming up and being unearthed from the earth. But it wasn't that I was just seeing it. I mean, it was energy that moved through me and left a sort of residue behind of that experience. So I felt like I was experiencing thousands of years of humankind, you know, of everything that they had been through, that leaves that residual energy. I then experienced that all at once. That was intense. But anyway, getting back.
Was it all kind of the, because you had mentioned like wars and was it all a negative kind of experience? Trauma. Stored in the soil.
I wouldn't say all was negative, because there was there was what seemed to be not so true. It didn't. Let me put it this way: there were things that were unearthed that felt very traumatic, and I experienced that trauma, and things that felt not so much. That's the only way I can explain it.
Okay.
So as it was moving through me, it wasn't just trauma after trauma after trauma, but it was just an intent. It was almost like a download, like you would download it from the internet to your computer. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the sensation, very mechanical feeling.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm still floating further and further away, and the yin yang sign has burnt out. And I am this whole time just buzzing with this unconditional love for self and all, and this feeling of being interconnected with everything and everyone. And I'm up in the ether, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at all of these stars and realizing that we are the stars. We're made of the same stuff. Physically, even, and spiritually. And I mean, it's all part of the same thing. And so I felt this affinity that I hadn't known before. And then out out of my line of sight, off to the right of me, I felt the intensity of that emotion that I was feeling, that unconditional love, spike. And before I was even turned completely to where I could see it, I began moving in that direction. So it was almost as though that intense rise served as fuel to move me or attract me. I guess it was more like it was attracting me through it. Because as I felt that, my self-love, I guess, went up to match that vibration. And as the vibrations matched each other, I began moving in that direction. And I was turning slowly to see what it was. And, oh, my gosh, this is the worst. You were going to think I'm crazy.
Maybe. No. But maybe.
What I saw, no. I'm just going to explain it.
Yeah.
Oh, before before, though, before I saw that, as I was moving away and I was just sort of out in the atmosphere, all across the sky. So this is before I was just what I was just telling you. I was seeing these bands of bright neon colored lights. So these long vertical bands, and they were everywhere, moving in all different directions. And some were brighter than others. They were neon colors. Some were more translucent and some were more opaque. Some were moving quickly, some were moving slowly, some were not moving at all. But they were everywhere. And so when I turned then, when I had this feeling and turned to see what it was, there was what I can describe as a, it's like a football shape, but as it's standing on its point, okay? So it's like this oval with sharp points, and it's a bright neon green, and it's really bright, really dense, and emitting a lot of energy. And then around it, almost like rings around Saturn, was another bright neon green ring, only it was more translucent. Okay? So that's the setup. And then along, almost like almost like people come up to a bar, all along this were these bands of light. And some were there the whole time. Some came and left quickly. They left in different directions. They came from different directions. Some bypassed this thing altogether. So it wasn't like it was the gatekeeper of something. But as I was watching all of this happen and watching these bands of light coming and going, I was moving closer and closer to it. And I realized that I was also a band of this light energy. And I moved up to this, and it was a real physical feeling. I bumped up against it. I kind of bumped up against it and moved back a little bit and then kind of bumped up, almost like you would docking a boat. You know, it kind of comes up and then bumps up and comes up. So until I had settled in there, and then I just sort of looked around, and I got the feeling that we are these bands of light. This is who we are. And this was some sort of information center, and these other beings, these other entities, whatever they are, were getting some information from this. They were giving and receiving something from this. But I knew from where my experience with this thing that it was, I had a choice. Okay, I could go forward or I could go back. And it was no question for me. I wanted to see more. I wanted to go forward. So it was all telepathy. You know, there were no words. It was just a conversation, not even a, you know, it was weird. It was not a conversation. It was not words in my head even. It was just an understanding.
Just
and
a knowing.
As soon as I came to, you're just knowing, right? And as soon as I had the knowing, oh no, I don't want to go back. I want to see more. Are you kidding me? I began moving off in a direction and away from this. And I was just looking around at everything around me and watching the activity of all these bands of light moving. And way, way off in the distance, I saw this big body of, I mean, it was massive. It was just this big, okay, you know, like the Northern Lights. It moved very much like the Northern Lights. So it's this big body of energy that was all lit up, but it wasn't. It was primarily pink, so like neon pink with tinges of orange. So when it undulated and it moved on the areas where it was moving, you could see little orange areas. But the rest of it was pink. And I believe this is sort of us. This is, you know, that we're like the ocean, right? We're all interconnected. So it's like drops of the ocean that come out still contain the whole ocean, but the whole ocean is made up of all those little drops.
Yes.
So I think all these bands of light were like little drops of the ocean, and we are complete. In a, you know, we are the complete ocean. We are the complete wherever we come from. But what we go back to is the ocean, and I believe that's what I was seeing. I guess it's like the spiritual ocean that we go back to.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt very much, I had a complete connection with this. If I can describe it as like fabric, okay? And fabric is made up of nothing more than lots of threads. And we're these individual threads where we still have autonomy. We are ourselves. We are individuals. However, we are like so connected to this that we create this fabric. And there is an interconnectedness and a telepathic, a complete interconnectedness with, you know, I can't even say telepathy because it's more of a just a knowing.
Uh-huh.
You are as close to the person all the way on the other end of that fabric as you are to the thread that's right next to you, right? There's no, so that it doesn't feel like there's any distance between you and the person that might make up the other end of the ocean.
Right.
All right. That it's that kind of connected, a complete connection, like you're one. And the feeling of love with this was almost overwhelming. And it was at that moment that I realized, oh my gosh, I'm at a place where people talk about where you can ask for and receive things, right? So I asked for healing. And as soon as I did, I could feel this little, it was almost like a little seed of heat right at the center of my chest or where my chest would be.
Uh-huh.
And it began to like fill up almost like a balloon inside my chest. And I have to say, just during this, I had moments where I was coming out of it a little bit. I could feel I was coming out of it. And I would check in with my body, and I would feel myself gripping my hands or, you know, like tensing. And then I would have to relax and let go, and the experience would continue. So this was another one of those, which is I could feel it filling up my chest. I mean, it felt like it was happening in my physical body, not just in my spiritual sense. And it felt like my chest was just getting filled up like a balloon. It felt like it was going to burst. And I checked in with my body, and I realized I was clenching. I was tensing. And as soon as I realized I was tensing and I let go, it was the balloon burst. The energy, the heat, remained where it was for just a moment. And as I let my breath out, it shot out my hands and my feet like an electric current. And
so it's like this wave of healing that just emanated from there, and
right, you know. It did. And then I was filled with this just kind of heat and this sort of pulsating vibration, but it wasn't in waves coming up or down. It was coming from the center of my chest in these pulsating waves that were coming out and out of my body. So I was just laying there, and I was feeling all the things that I was feeling, you know, all this interconnectedness and feeling like I had just received a healing. And I can't believe I'm going to tell you this next part. This is the thing I struggle with most with this experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of it, and I'm just gonna be as honest as I can.
Sure.
I am in the atmosphere, and I'm just enjoying the sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have there's something that comes above me, and it's made of the same bright light, the neon light, and it is large and it's moving. And some of it is translucent, and other areas are opaque. And it looked mechanical to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I, and that's all I'm going to say, I'm not going to say anything. That's what it looked like to me. But the feeling of love became so intense for me that I felt I had to be part of it, but I had to touch it. I had to try to make contact with it. And so with my spirit arm, I guess, I reached out to try to touch it. And as I got closer and closer, that feeling of unconditional love grew exponentially greater until I felt like I was just about ready to touch it. And then my phone rang.
What?
Yeah. And it was as though I got sucked, almost like you see in a movie, through a long tube. I'm looking at my arm outreached. I'm almost touching whatever this is. I'm almost there, making the connection. And all of a sudden, I'm getting dragged, sucked back through like a vacuum tube. And I hit my body hard. Oh, my God, I hit my body hard. And the person who was calling was my daughter. And I think she picked up something energetic from me because she had no real reason for calling. She just had the sense that she wanted to connect with me and wanted to call. And so she did.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I talked to her. I told her about my experience. I went to sleep right after that. And I slept deeper than I have slept in, deeper than I can ever remember sleeping. And I woke up the next morning and I felt like, you know how when you're a kid and you're in the water all day and then you go out of the water and you feel like you weigh 600 pounds and you're just like, you can barely move because you're, I felt like that. And I felt like that for 3 days. And I actually had a doctor's appointment. Now, up until that time, with autoimmune disease, it's not uncommon for you to have really low body heat. And I did. I consistently ran low, like 96, 97. I was never, or very, very rarely, was I ever 98.6 or even close to that. But that day when I went in to the doctor, I was a perfect 98.6. And my blood pressure was, I had chronically low blood pressure. My blood pressure was elevated, and not elevated, but elevated to normal. And I really felt different. And it was weird, though. It was as though I came so hard and quickly back into my body, and then I went right to sleep, and I slept so deeply that it felt for those 3 days that followed this experience that I just wasn't in my body right. It was weird. I could tell that my body wasn't feeling well only because it wasn't responding to what I was asking it to do, not because I really felt what was going on. It took a couple of days for me to kind of reconnect all of the wires, I guess. It's a strange experience.
No, but it sounds like it's like you had a recalibration of your...
Oh, I hadn't even thought about it that way, but yeah.
Body
yeah,
and spirit.
Absolutely.
Just kind of getting...
Yeah.
Getting along, you know, I took the liberty to pull some cards, for your tarot read,
yammering on so long.
Because you've been yammering on, lady.
Sorry about that.
It's been fascinating. And, cause our time is almost up, you know, I mean,
yeah,
it's just,
it is. I can't believe
you got into a flow and
goes
you know,
by so fast when I'm talking.
You know what? I totally appreciate you just being very open, you know, with it, very, very honest. And, it's not always the easiest to do that. But I think it's so helpful. I mean, for me,
necessary.
I mean, I love it, you know, absolutely.
But
these are the cards that came up because I like to choose in three. And they're very powerful cards, you know, like because you were talking about, you know, like this being kind of the an awakening or like the genesis of a you know this recalibration and all, and
of
it's like
the age.
Well, the initiate comes up, like in the Wizard's Tarot. It's like the Fool,
Ah.
where it's that card of the beginning. It's like the one where,
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, one can just open up
card.
to an experience and not feel like they have to know everything about, you know, the direction that they're moving in. They're just open to it and
They're
to
just
keep
open. Love it.
Keeping open and learning, you know, something new. And it's a very individual card too. You know, a lot of people don't know that the Fool is like, it's one that speaks to our own strength as an individual, and that we look to, you know, keep, you know, being strong, to keep being, you know, someone who is willing to, you know, just kind of keep creating an energetic loop of where, you know, there's always something new to learn, that there's always, you know, something to inspire us to, you know, and we don't have to know exactly what it's all about.
Right. That's the fun part, because the universe, it's like Christmas every day then.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the second card, the Page of Wands came up, which is the card of that connection with your own inner spirit. It is a card of meditation, but it's one of knowing who it is that you are at your core, and keeping those channels clear. And
wow.
and then the third card, the Hierophant, which in the Wizard's Tarot is the Wounded Healer.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, those cards don't lie, do they?
No. And you know, the Wounded Healer, they have gone through some shit. You know, they've gone through experiences that have been really
so incredible.
Been tasking. But instead of being someone who you know, sits there and moans and groans about being in pain, it's about taking that you know, the steps toward healing, and then sharing those steps with everyone, anyone, you know, who's going through something similar, or you know, becoming the teacher, becoming the person who activates their own voice to be able to you know, share with the world and create connection. You know, it's like there's Hebrew on the Hierophant, which is it represents the nail, and the nail is that thing that connects like wood, you know, to create structures, you know, where in a society and all, it's like we look for all these ways of connecting one another, so that, you know, we have our common goals, that we're stronger together, and so that we see the benefit of working together as well. And so, you know, the spiritual leader, it's like, you know, these are experiences to, you know, inform you not of your own individual power and all of healing, of being in a place of, you know, where you can really, you know, just rise up, right, to like your own best potential, and then share it with others, you know. So we're just about wrapping up, Christine. I know we didn't get through like a lot of.
Sorry.
I'm sure you've got like another.
I know.
Five, six hours,
I mean,
in you just for
just...
today, but where can people reach you?
Actually, they can reach me through my website, ChristineMcBride.com.
Spell it up.
ChristineMcBride.
So McBride, ChristineMcBride.com.
I also have a YouTube channel, which is Christine McBride.
And you talk about aspects of healing and things like that, is that, or is that
I do. Well, the YouTube channel, I have a few videos up there that details how I've managed to improve my health using diet and things like that. And then the most recent video is my journey through coming off opioids.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, I've got to wrap up for today. I'm a busy man. I've got like
a full
reading schedule like for today in Studio City, and then I'll be at the teepee. And Christine, thank you so much. I loved our conversation, and your experience there is just like really wonderful. And we'll talk again. Certainly on air again,
and we'll
talk about happiness and your great. I love those yoga
so
photos of you on the. Absolutely.
Definitely.
All right, thank you so much, and
thank you for
being on Wizard Talk today, and many blessings, everyone.
Namaste.